Good morning. It's Wednesday, March 20th, the first day of spring. It's 11 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. A healthcare organization with thousands of patients in Southeast Alaska expects a massive hit to its budget. The Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH for short, says it's the result of federal spending cuts, known as sequestration. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
SEARCH Chief Executive Charles Clement says his organization is bracing for a $3.5 million budget cut over the next 6 months. He adds, quote, "There is no possible way for SEARCH to absorb this amount of reduction." Clement says the reduced funding is largely because of sequestration, which went into effect on March 1st when Congress could not reach an agreement on the nation's budget. SEARCH receives a large percentage of its funding from the federal government. Clement writes that he's traveling this week to meet with the Indian Health Service and other tribal health organizations about sequestration, and he says SEARCH executives are working with the board of directors to figure out what to do. He writes in an email, quote, "What I can tell you is that budget changes of this magnitude are beyond my authority to decide," unquote. Clement says nothing has been decided so far, but that difficult decisions are on the way. With more than 900 employees, SEARCH is Southeast Alaska's largest private employer. It provides healthcare services to Alaska Natives and other beneficiaries at its hospital campus in Sitka and through providers in Juneau. It also works in smaller communities throughout the Panhandle. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
This week, Raven News has reported on the effect of sequestration at both the Coast Guard and SEARCH. But the cuts affect almost anything touched by federal money, so that has us wondering, how are you affected by federal funding cuts? If you have a story to share, send an email to news@kcaw.org or give us a call, 747-5879. Officials in Sitka have set the final harvest limit for this year's sacro herring fishery. The Sitka fleet will be allowed to harvest 11,549 tons of the small silverfish this year. The official number is about 500 tons above initial estimates because winter test fisheries showed larger average fish weights than compared to last year. The harvest limit is far below last year's number of about 29,000 tons. The fleet was far short of that in 2012, harvesting only about 13,000 tons of fish. Fish and Game Management biologist Dave Gordon says the herring are still too deep to sample, but the predators are abundant between Kruzoff and Crow Islands.
At some point in time, this concentration of predators out where they're at right now is going to change. You'll see a shift in more towards the nearshore, you know, areas closer to town, and that means the herring are on the move. They're getting closer to spawning, and we need to be prepared for that.
Gordon says once samples are taken, managers will look for at least 10% mature roe in order for fishing to begin. The Sitka herring fishery is fast-paced and lucrative. It takes place over a few days in a series of openings that last just a few hours each. ADF&G estimates the price of herring from last year's fishery at roughly $640 per ton. That puts the total ex-vessel value of last year's fishery at about $8.5 million. The federal government has a new proposal for defining handicrafts made out of sea otter pelts, but it's not what some crafts makers expected. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has details.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service governs hunting of sea otters and other protected marine mammals. Its rules allow coastal natives to hunt otters for traditional and subsistence purposes, and it permits pelts to be sold to non-natives after they're significantly altered. But part of the rules are hard to decipher, and different interpretations have led to citations, fines, and other legal action. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute President Rosita Wuerl is part of a region-wide effort to expand the otter business.
Our desire is to move away from the vague language that we've had that has, you know, resulted, I think, in some consternation, you know, with the hunters and with the craftspeople in not knowing, you know, what's legally acceptable.
The Fish and Wildlife Service has released new wording and is taking comments through May 17th. It defines substantially altered as weaving, carving, sewing, beading, drawing, painting, and some other methods. Fish and Wildlife spokesman Bruce Wood says artisans can make mittens, hats, gloves, purses, and scarves, but it prohibits some larger items.
If someone simply drew a picture on the back of a tanned sea otter hide and attempted to sell that as significantly altered, someone who was running a souvenir factory conceivably could buy those hides and turn them into a whole series of little otter dolls and sell them in competition for people who are doing the work as a handicraft.
Wood says native craft people could work in cooperatives or other groups, but they could not use extensive mechanization or divide tasks in anything like an assembly line. He says the new rules include input from hunters and other groups.
So the service has been meeting with some handicrafter groups and other interested parties in an attempt to refine that definition and sort of take some of the angst out of the community of crafters who may not be certain that what they're manufacturing is legal.
Some people working with otter pelts are not happy with the proposed rules. Worrell says crafters work with the Indigenous Peoples Council for Marine Mammals and other organizations to come up with their own, more flexible proposal. But that's not the Fish and Wildlife Service draft.
All of us are busy studying it right now, but there's a lot of unhappiness that kind of came out of the blue. So it's like we're back to the drawing board.
The Heritage Institute is training tribal members to sew otter pelts to help build a cottage industry, especially in economically depressed villages. Worrell says the workshops have waiting lists and more are planned. The effort comes as hunters, lawmakers, and scientists debate the impacts of rapid otter population growth in Southeast. Bills in the House and Senate would subsidize hunting with a $100 per pelt bounty. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
There's a link to the proposed otter rules posted with this story on our website. There's also a report on an earlier attempt to rewrite those rules. If a bill passes out of the Alaska legislature, you might be handing an officer your phone instead of paper. House Bill 146 by Representative Pete Higgins would allow drivers to display proof of automobile insurance on a personal mobile electronic device like a smartphone or tablet. The bill was passed out of the House Transportation Committee, its only committee of referral, yesterday. The bill now goes to the House Rules Committee, which could schedule it for the floor. Currently, 6 states use online systems to verify vehicle insurance, and 20 others are considering similar legislation, according to the Fairbanks Republican sponsor statement. Higgins says the bill is a great way to modernize Alaska's insurance system and allow more people to live paperless. The Alaska Army National Guard Honor Guard held a memorial service Monday evening for men and women who honorably served in the armed forces. The Wrangell Post of the Alaska Territorial Guard was also commemorated. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver attended that memorial and sent back this audio postcard.
Our job now with the Alaska National Guard Honor Guard team is to travel throughout the state and make sure that the veterans that passed away that served their country get their respect that's due to them. Fortunately, it's way long past due. This should have been done many, many years ago when the actual veterans passed away.
God of Wonder, we give you thanks for calling us together to honor our veterans, continue to guide our country, the service of our men and women to our country would bear abundant fruit for your kingdom, bringing about peace and justice. Comfort those families who have lost loved ones in time of war, those who have returned with disabilities. Give them strength and courage in their healing. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Palmer Knorr. For all the Alaska Territorial Guard members of Wrangell.
Sir, on behalf of the President of the United States, the United States Army, and the grateful nation, please accept this flag and symbol of all of the loved ones dedicated service to their country.
For post number 6, I receive it. Thank you. Sergeant Arnold Backe. I was 2 years in California with amphibious tank and tractor battalion, and 1 year in Germany with the 40th tank, and I was a sergeant. Well, this is just an honor given to the our post, Elmer Post number 6. Yes, it's right up there, but alongside the police station up there. It is a great honor. And we'll cherish it, and it'll be displayed up the Legion.
Corporal Jeremy Goff, I'm with the Alaska Army National Guard Honor Guard team.
Specialist Sarita Johnson, right now we're honoring all those who served in the Alaska Territorial Guard, and we're honoring those who did not receive the military funeral part, the military honors of their honorable service.
A lot of cases, they weren't recognized by the state for the longest period of time. And then when they just passed away in the villages, no one knew. So now we're going around and making sure that they're getting the due respects and the honor that they deserve. I come from a long line of military family, from a long military family, and it's just something I wanted to do.
When I see the family very, very thankful for what we've done for their loved one, we're actually going to go to St. George and St. Paul next month. So there's at least 200 in that area. So hopefully it'll be a great turnout.
That audio postcard from Monday's memorial service for Wrangell members of the Armed Forces, filed by Shady Grove Oliver from KSTK. That's Raven News for this hour. It's just about a minute after 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. 26 degrees outside under beautiful blue skies. Enjoy the morning sun.